Psalms 116, 1 and 2. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. And because he turned his ear to me, I'll call on him all the days of my life. Because he could have walked away, turned his back to all my sin. And he picked me up and he turned me around. And he set my feet on solid ground. And then I like saying this, adding to that, the purpose of the solid ground is so that you never sink again. And that just goes right in line with like what I received from the Lord the night I got born again, 2004, July 4th, 8:45, on a Sunday night, homeless and sleeping in a tent. He said, just like those fireworks, they go up into the sky, they burn out, and they fall to the ground, never to burn again. Now, I don't know if you know that about fireworks, but once you light them, and they go up and they do what they do, and then they fall to the ground, they never burn again. He said, so is your old way of living. And so I accepted that prophecy from my Father in heaven. I stand on it tonight, giving me this opportunity to take this little bit of time to be on display for him. Because he chose me. He. And if there was anybody that deserved death, things I said and the things I done. But when the blood hit the mercy seat, oh, when the blood hit the mercy seat, that same DNA that left heaven by way of the Holy Ghost that hovered over Mary and gave her a child, that was the same DNA that he poured out on the mercy seat of heaven so that every man and every woman would have a chance to become the friend of God. In his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I appreciate Pastor Mark letting me do this. And so, I want to stay along the lines that he had been teaching us from week to week about the leaven that we're going to see this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me start right here in verse 1. And I want to be able to show you how yeast and leaven, where they're actually two separate things, but they're a part of the same process, looking to cause a result. This leaven comes from the Greek word that's 2219 and 2220 in the Strong's Concordance, to cause a result, the action produced by the nature of the seed or the yeast, both good and evil. And so I want to show you something here in the passages that Pastor's using. I'm going to start in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2. So you, my son, this is Paul writing to Timothy. This is a pastoral letter instructing him and encouraging him, giving him direction on how to govern the churches that he goes to and what influence he'll have in pastoring the people and leading and guiding the people. And any type of pastoral supervision that you'll have in somebody's life is you got to be able to tell them what to look for, what to resist, what to yield to, what's good, what's bad, what's dark, what's light. You always try to motivate them to look for the things that are for you that are good, and to be able to recognize and know what the things are there to come to destroy. See, in John 10:10, Jesus gave us an example. The thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you might have life. Well, how does that process of killing, stealing, and destroying take place? And then how does that process take place that you might have life and more abundant? And so yeast and leaven are kind of like the breakdown of a sentence. You got a subject and a verb, a predicate or a proposition, propositional phrase. What, they're all different parts of that one sentence. So yeast and leaven, actually, they're two different things. The subject and the verb's not the same thing. They're different. But yet they're a part of the same sentence in order to cause a result when you read it. Y'all hear me? Is that you with me? Okay, so, and I'm going to show you both sides of this. And don't try not to let it bore you, because just give me just a minute to lay some groundwork on some stuff. Because yeast can be a teaching or an action, both for good and evil. It's a spiritual principle that Jesus gave a practical example of. And we're going to read Matthew 13:33 in just a minute. And everything that we see in the natural has a spiritual source to it, both good and evil. There's no middle ground to it. Light and darkness, good and evil, death and life. They have a spiritual source to it, what you experience here in this practical world. So what you see comes from something that you can't see. Everybody with me? You see that? Okay. So Paul says here in verse 1, so you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Share the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses with faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so Paul's talking about the information that Timothy had gathered from being a witness of Paul's ministry, being able to share that with faithful, other faithful men that are also able to teach others. Endure hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier on active duty entangles himself with civilian affairs, that he may please the enlisting officer. So he says here, endure hard times as a good soldier. In other words, he's telling Timothy to resist being defeated. Do you see yourself actively, whatever situation you are in life, whether you've been saved, born again 50 years, or just now coming to get restoration in your life for just a brief time, can you say to yourself, I know that I'm actively in the process of resisting being defeated? Endure hard times as a good soldier. In other words, resist being defeated. Don't quit. And then here's one of the key fundamental things in this next verse. No soldier on active duty entangles himself with civilian affairs. In other words, how you resist being defeated is you stay out of the world. You stay out of the things that by now you should be able to recognize that will entangle you. So anyone who competes, this is verse 5, anyone who competes as an athlete is not rewarded without competing legally. The farmer who labors should be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I'm saying, and may the Lord grant you understanding in all things. This word consider means to meditate on it, to think about it, to chew on it. That's another expression. And so, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, according to my gospel, in which I suffer trouble like a criminal, even with chains. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, and that they also may obtain the salvation in which is in Christ with eternal glory. And then this is a faithful saying, if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now we know this is not necessarily referring to your eternal destiny. This is an easy reference to make. If we deny him, that's pride. We're talking about somebody that denies that there's a God. It's pride. And he'll also deny us. And we know from 1 Peter 5:5, the Bible says that he gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. So we don't come tonight with proud hearts. We're here to receive something from God. This is training ground for you tonight. And we're going to get to some stuff that I want to be able to give you practical examples from the Bible of men that were exposed to the yeast and the leaven that was designed to either lift them up and exalt them, to give them the life more abundant that Jesus talked about in John 10:10, or either you're going to be exposed to the yeast and the leaven that Jesus talked about in John 10:10, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, and give you the ability to see it and know the difference in it so you don't fall like some of the examples that we see in Scripture. And also that you may just know from your own life up to this point, and then people that you still may be in contact with on a regular basis, and you see the continual things that happen to them that aren't good, and then you can look around and see the continual things that happen to people that are good, the good results. Now, there's nothing more encouraging for a man or woman to be able to go through life strong and built up, encouraged in the faith, than good results. Man, you make a few decisions in consecutive order, and you get good results from those things. People can talk to you all the time about how good this is or how good that is, and it can encourage you. Don't quit. Just believe God. Keep doing this, keep doing that. But when you begin to experience the good results for yourself, man, there's nothing more encouraging than that. We know from Scripture, the Bible said, taste and see. That word taste means experience it for yourself. And so, verse 14, remind them of these things, commanding them before the Lord that they not argue about words, which leads to nothing of value, and to the destruction of those that hear them. So what he's saying here, hey, the information that you're going to be passing back and forth during an argument about things that you can't just necessarily settle, once saved, always saved, those will smoke and send you to hell. Well, drinking beer sends you to hell. All these things can be argued back and forth, but it says here it's of no value, and it's destructive to those that hear them. So what you're doing is you're sowing seeds that we'll know from Matthew 13 when I get through with this part here. We'll know from Matthew 13 what Jesus is saying, how seed and yeast are designed to accomplish a certain thing, both good and evil. And it's our part to play to be able to recognize what that is so that we're not exposed to it in a negative way. Amen. I mean, you know, I've been able to use two principles that help me in just being quick to decide what something is for me or not. And that's benefits and consequences. Man, I'm telling you, so coming up just a few days from now, it'd be 21 years for me. And there's been a benefit package that's been offered to me during those years that I have truly enjoyed. One of them is setting my feet on solid ground. Amen. And then I know the difference between the benefits and the consequences because for a long time, years, I suffered consequences. So if you had never even heard of those two terms before tonight, which one do you think sounds better for you? Benefits or consequences? Okay. So then study to show thyself approved. A workman who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and avoid profane and foolish babblings, for they will increase. Now, this word increase is going to be given in an example when we start talking about the yeast and the leaven. So it'll increase more and more. So Paul's still talking about information that's being offered in a public platform, in a public forum, when he's telling Timothy that when you're with other people, other ministers, other men of God, don't be arguing about things that you can't just settle once and for all, because it increases to more ungodliness. And their word will spread like gangrene. Among them, Hymenaeus and Philetus. I guess that's, you know, might not be good English, but that's not the first bad English I've spoken already. But so, you know, Paul's calling these men by name. And so I think that's where we may be lacking a little bit in the church now. And I want to ask you a question. Why is this not being judgmental? He's calling these people by name. And look what he says. They've erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred, and who overthrow the faith of some. So he's actually describing what these men have done and called them by name. And so what they're guilty of is putting a little yeast into the lump so that it'll spread about Jesus Christ not being resurrected. That's bad information. Now, this is done for a purpose. But the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who calls on the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And here's where Pastor picks up with his verses. In a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but those of wood and clay. Some are for honor and some are for dishonor. And one who purges himself or cleanses himself or purifies himself from these things will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, fit for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. And so this is giving you a picture of a homeowner who handpicks which vessels to use for a special occasion. And so it says, flee youthful desires and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart, and avoid foolish and unlearned debates, knowing that they create strife. And then, so let's go to Matthew 13. I'm going to show you two different . This is about the time Pastor says, is this okay with everybody? So the silence is maybe either putting you to sleep or getting you to think about the benefits and the consequences. So Matthew 13. And so, I'm going to start here in 31. He told them another parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in a field. This indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest among the herbs and is a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches. And then he told him another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and mixed in 60 pounds of meal until it had leavened the whole batch. So this where we see this word leavened means that it spread, it affected, it mixed, it increased, got greater in number and size and in portion. There was a purpose why the man sowed the seed in his field, and then there was a purpose why the yeast was added to the lump, so that it would increase and spread. Now, I want you to keep that in mind when we're talking about the body of Christ and the church. So, Satan is not necessarily satisfied with just having people in the congregation. That may be planted there for death and destruction. With their information that they may be sharing with other members, or the actions that they may be taking that the other members can witness. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So, man was sleeping with his father's wife. And Paul makes that analogy there. He says, do you not know a little leaven, a little yeast, leaven the whole lump? In other words, if you let that continue, that action, if you let that continue to be a part of the process of how you do church, Satan's not satisfied with just it being with those two people partaking. He wants it to spread through the whole body. Information and action. And so, that's the practical example that Jesus gave about a teaching or an action. It's a spiritual principle. It's not necessarily something that you can see happening on a TV screen or on a chalkboard. But when we witness in life, going through life, our five senses have the ability to gather information at every level of life and process it. Either for the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10, or for Satan to have an open door to steal, kill, and destroy. We are information processors as people. And you cannot violate a spiritual principle and continue to be exposed to the things that kill and expect life to come out of it. And you say, well, what do we do? Well, we got ways we handle it. One of the ways is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Talking about casting down imaginations. Every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see things that by nature, sometimes you ain't even got to be taught a whole lot and set under any good teachings and be able to look and see by nature whether something is going to affect you in a positive way or a negative way. So both have the ability, talking about the yeast. So Jesus told the disciples, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And then in a lot of your translations, it says he wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about the Pharisees' teaching, what they were trying to expose the disciples to and the people around them that were under the mentorship of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus was telling them to beware of this. And so when the yeast and the leaven work through their process, that by nature they both have the ability to cause a desired result based on the source or the type of the yeast being mixed or added to. So this word desire, when it comes to yeast or seed that's being sown for you to be able to cultivate it, give it a place to be planted, and then eventually grow and increase and spread, this word desire, it will work by nature if you allow it a place to grow and do what it does. So Jesus said to Peter, if you're familiar with this, he said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. So the yeast and the leaven that Jesus was talking about with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that were teaching what they were teaching, basically to discredit Jesus Christ and his ministry and being able to go in and having an effect on people to the point they're turning to him instead of always being under the rule of the Pharisaical and the Sadduceical government of what they called religion. They tried to discredit him. And so this word leaven or leavening or leaveneth is the actual transformation process that takes place when yeast, both a teaching or an action, is added to a particular or specific or general time or place. Now, we're talking about as individual people, us, what we get exposed to on a daily basis is the actual transformation process that takes place when we're talking about leaven. So the word leaven with E-T-H on the end of it, leaveneth in the King James, it means instantly and continuously. In other words, just like it said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Y'all with me on this? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him. Okay? So that word believeth means instantly and what? Continuously. So when you see the word leaven, and if you're not reading in the King James, it won't have the ETH on it, but that word means, leaven means instantly and continuously. And so the transformation process takes place. When this yeast is added, it leaveneth the whole loaf. And that's where the transformation process takes place. And we know that from, here's an example in Romans 12. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. So we go back to what Paul was telling Timothy, that we don't have any business being entangled in the things of the world. Well, that's how you keep from being conformed. You don't depend or rely on or search out any kind of information that comes from unbelievers or worldly. Hey, look, just because Google is a convenient source of information, it doesn't mean that it's biblical. I've sat in meetings with men of God and been talking about a particular subject and tell them what the scriptures are saying and what it means and how to apply it to your life, because I've witnessed it and experienced it firsthand, and they want to pull out their phones and Google. They want to Google what it really means. It's global deception when these things don't line up. And try to explain to them, hey, don't lean to your own understanding, but evaluate it in your heart and see if you hear my voice and God's voice that are coinciding with each other. And then turn Google off. All right, so bad yeast will conform or leaven the whole body. Good yeast will transform or leaven the whole body. Bad yeast will conform or leaven. It'll make you a vessel for dishonor. That's what we're reading in Timothy. How you purge yourself from being used as a vessel of dishonor and being transformed into a vessel that can be used for honor. Where the homeowner comes and picks who he wants to be used for special occasions. Now, I'm convinced that the special occasions have to do with divine miracles. Whether it be you being a part of soul winning, or whether you have your part in laying hands on the sick, casting out devils. That's the special occasions. Giving financial assistance from the means that you've been able to gain, from God giving you an ability to earn money. Those are the special occasions. We ain't talking about Christmas and Easter or 4th of July. And so here's some examples of both good and evil yeast and the leavening effect that it has on our lives. So Matthew 16. This is going to be 100% dependent on our ability to process the information or respond in the proper way to the action that we're seeing going on that's designed to either lie to you or to show you the truth. We experience, now this is simple. We experience this on a daily basis. No matter whether you've been born again as long as some of these people have, or like I said, you're just now in the process of having your life restored. Everybody is going to experience this dynamic that takes place with information that we encounter on a minute-by-minute, day-by-day basis. So here's an example, Matthew 16. Notice, now Jesus had just got through talking about the Pharisees and their teachings. And he asked a question to the disciples. Who do men say that the Son of Man is? Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. See, that's what they had heard. Information that was out there that the Pharisees had been putting for people to listen to discredit and to take away from the level of ministry that Jesus would have the ability to minister if they didn't even think he was who he says he was. So none of these are true. All right? So then the Lord asked Peter, well, who do you say that I am? In other words, Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed are you. Is being blessed a benefit or a consequence? So, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so, here's a major principle here that whenever you are being exposed to the leaven and the yeast that is designed to kill, steal, and destroy, you have to have, like Peter had here, this law of displacement take place. In other words, when you remove something that you know, you cast down, you resist it, you run from it, you get away from it, you don't conform to it. You have to be able to put something in its place. Peter, not only he was rejecting what they were being taught. Some say you are these different ones. But then he replaced it with, you are the Son of the living God. It's called the law of displacement. And we know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That just like flipping on a light switch in a dark room, darkness doesn't negotiate the transformation process that takes place. It has to leave. And so Peter's confession, that's the good yeast, the good teaching. And the Pharisees was the bad yeast or the teaching or the bad teaching. And Jesus goes on to tell us about a law that proves and exposes the bad yeast for what it is. And that's in verse 25. Let me hold on to that part right there for just a second. And so yeast of the kingdom of God and its effect or its result is greater than the bad or the evil yeast. Now, Peter had a good result right here with what he done. Now, Luke 19, and I'm going to finish here. Let's look at this example of how the yeast and it having a leavening effect on this particular individual. And it didn't end well with this guy. So Luke 19, verse 11, as they heard these things, as they heard these things, as information being shared. Is that correct? and told them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. Now, we know, looking back now, from where the Gospels have presented this thing in the dispensation of time, they thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. That's bad information that they were beginning to entertain and process. And if you know some of the ins and outs on how the disciples responded to some of this information, it wasn't good for them. See, you can't get good results with bad information. You can ask Abraham that. His wife Sarah told him, we can't have a child. God had already said they were going to have a child. She said, we can't have a child. Go in there and lay with my handmaid. Is that a good result or a bad result that we got from that experience? Not a good result. History proves it. That Abraham processed and entertained and acted on bad information. And he didn't get a good result. And we still may be at some level experiencing the consequences of it. It spread in a way far beyond just Abraham and him in his life and his children's life and his grandchildren's life. But, so therefore he said a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom and return. So he called his 10 servants, entrusted to them 10 pounds, and said to them, trade until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. And when he returned, having received the kingdom, he summoned these servants to whom he had entrusted the money that he might know what everyone gained by trading. So, did you know that the Lord our God trusts us? He come back to see what they had done with their time. The first came saying, Master, your pound has made 10 pounds more. He said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. So see, there's an increase right there. That's a benefit. Because you've been faithful in very little, take authority over 10 cities. So he got exalted and elevated. That's a benefit. The second one came saying, Master, your pound has made 5 pounds more. So his pound, that seed that he's sown, that yeast in the form of the talents, it transformed from 1 to 5. So he said in like manner to him, you take authority over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Master, look, here is your pound, which I've kept put away in a napkin. So in other words, there was no profit. It didn't increase. It didn't spread. For I feared you, because you are a tough or hard or an exacting man. Now, I wonder who told him that. You collect what you didn't deposit. Well, here he's believing a lie, even though he experienced the man giving him the talent. He's saying, you collect what you didn't sow. And you reap what you did not sow. You collect what you didn't deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. So did the man sow anything when he left? He did. So he said to him, out of your own mouth I'll judge you, you wicked servant. If you knew that I was an exacting man, or a hard man, or a tough man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow, why then did you not deposit the money in the bank so that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And then he said to those who stood by, take the pound from him and give it to him who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 pounds. And he says, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. See, that's making reference to the good yeast and the good leavening process that'll take place in us when we learn how to respond to the good information and the good action that we see on an every, and it has to do with, first of all, being in the right place where when you are getting taught the things of God, being able to experience some of these things in your own life on a regular basis. So when this man revealed all the information that he made a decision on in his life not to do anything with the money, just hide it. You know, he could have been just lazy. He could have been just making excuses. And he could have really been full of fear. And he could have been taught all these things about this nobleman, which is a type of the Lord. He could have been taught all these things. And if you'll notice something else, also this man didn't have any fellowship with the other two that got the recommendation, well done, good and faithful servant. No fellowship with the other two. So whether or not he was lazy or he was just making excuses and he really could have been full of fear, none of these were acceptable unto God. Even if he had been taught wrong. Because he gained this information somewhere, because that's not the true character that the Lord our God has. Hard and tough. And an exacting, reaping what he didn't sow, because he's sown it all. He's given it all, sown it all. Loving, kind, merciful, all these things. And so just like what happened with Peter and his confession about who do men say that Jesus was, some of the prophets, they named them off. None of those were true. So what if the disciples would have responded to Jesus on a daily basis based on bad information? No, but he replaced it with the good information. So that's the law that has to take place that's going to keep you protected. First of all, there may be some things in your life that you may not ever get exposed to, and that's grace within itself. But when you're in this world, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you'll have trouble. And the reason you're going to have trouble, there's going to be information and action that you're going to witness on a minute-by-minute, day-by-day basis, that if you let it take root, if you let it, if you mix it in with the other things that you are exposed to on a daily basis, it's going to leaven your whole life. But we have this law of displacement that can protect us from that. And you have to take action on it. One of the things that God is in control is one of the ones that we got to be very careful of. He's not in control of this part. It's us that has to take the action that when we hear and see something that we know it's death and destruction that's tied to it, we got to get away from it and replace it with something that's in the kingdom of God, that belongs to God, that's been given to us for our benefit. You got to be able to replace it with something. When the man had the devils cast out, his house was clean and swept. The devils come back and they seen that they didn't have nothing else new in there. So they went back and it got more, even worse than him. And they come back and the man's state was worse than what it was when he left him. You got to be able to replace the furniture that you put out in your house with new furniture. It's got to be occupied with something. Because it's impossible to get good results with bad information. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord God, just emphasizing the importance of this life that you've given us to be a steward of. And that we don't take for granted our individual responsibilities to play the major role in you getting glory from the things that people see that we've been able to accomplish for the kingdom of God. We don't want to take it for granted. It's a great responsibility, but my God, so are the benefits. And so I ask that every eye and ear be open and be aware and be diligent to examine every bit of information that crosses our path on a daily basis. And we'll know by the Holy Ghost what's good for life, and what's bad, and what's intended for death. And we thank you for this great ability and privilege and the results of it, that we'll be encouraged. I mean, even tomorrow, we'll be encouraged to know that we are participating in this process.